Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Beautiful afternoon in St. Louis on this Tuesday afternoon. We have Sue Thomas coming up with Sue's News in just a few minutes. We'll have Jamie Reed, the WashU gender-affirming care whistleblower, who kind of got dragged into this argument about Barry Weiss and CBS News by John Oliver. And I can't wait to hear her response. I think that's going to be fascinating. So she joins us at the bottom of the hour. Fred, who we got for the next hour? Let's see. Sometimes I don't look ahead
from
enough.
The Media Research Center?
Yeah, Tim Graham with Newsbusters and also Bill King. Bill's an interesting guy. We've gotten to know him over the course of the past couple years. He is a former mayoral candidate in Houston, but he's a businessman, and he has a really good way of breaking issues down very fairly, I would say, because I read his pieces that are posted on Real Clear. And I don't think I've seen anyone explain the Obamacare subsidies issue better than Bill. And he's going to join us in a couple hours at the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour, right around 5:30. So, you know, yesterday we had, and I love John O'Leary, we had a great conversation with John. His the movie that is based on his life, Soul on Fire, opened last Thursday. We were supposed to have him on Friday, and he was on an airplane. So we had time to visit with him yesterday, which was awesome, and just kind of talk about the movie. But, you know, then I had mentioned something in the course of that conversation about my friend and his daughter, my friend in Cleveland. And, you know, what do you do? Because my friend has a daughter who's gone through two bouts of cancer. She was paralyzed, semi-paralyzed for a while. She had to have a, what do they call that thing? Like, I always forget the name of this, not the spinal tap, but the, like a blood transfusion where you're doing the whole blood transfusion thing. Why can I not think of what that's called? You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, she went through hell, and, you know, part of John's story is going through hell. When he was a little kid, 9 years old, he burns himself over, you know, his entire body, and he's not expected to live. So I wanted to create a link to the interview for two reasons. I wanted to post it up on the X, formerly Twitter, so people could hear it. Actually, I got to remember if I did that. And then I wanted to send it to my friend. But this is indirectly related. So when Ethan creates these links for the show, and I think it's the same thing. Like if you go to my Twitter site right now and you click on my profile, there's a picture that makes it look like I'm under arrest. It's a faux mugshot from the movie The Irishman, which I did a junket on 6 years ago. But my point in saying all this is when he sends me the link to the story, my picture comes up because it's linked to the podcast. And I'm so happy that we're still using a picture that's like 5 or 6 years old, because I'm at the point in my life right now where I may never do another new picture. I mean, people are just going to have to envision
Mark
that that's what I look like right now. And as I get older, I'm not changing the damn thing out ever. I'm going with the pictures that I have on Facebook, on Instagram, and on the X, and I'm not changing it. That's a new policy that I just decided on.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
All right. But I don't think it's bad. I think you are much harsher on yourself than
You haven't changed
much. I really haven't.
But I look at pictures like when Alexa was born, which was 10 years ago, and then, you know, when she was 1, 2, and 3. And I just hate the whole process of aging. I'm just telling you. And I'm not even that old, but I don't like it. It bothers me. I think about death way too much.
Yeah, that's not,
it's not
a
healthy,
plus.
Sue.
No.
It's not healthy.
No.
I need some more. I need enough counseling outside of that, but I think I need more counseling because of that. But I just don't like when I see pictures like, man, damn, I look old. Now, I could keep my beard a little bit more trimmed. That probably would help it. But I just had to mention that because I like the picture that goes out with that.
The last time we did headshots,
it was 2018, wasn't it?
It was pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
And the photographer insisted I pose for all the pictures without my glasses on.
Oh.
Even though I've never really not worn glasses.
Really?
Let me when they came back, it didn't even look like me. And my family's like, wow, that looks really weird.
They probably didn't want the reflection, though, maybe.
Maybe that's it. But you're right. I think you look fine with both, with or without.
Have you ever worn contacts, though?
Oh, no.
No, never come. Why? Is there an issue?
I don't like touching my eye.
Well, no, I get that. Some people are really weird about that.
I guess you get over it, but...
So you get all freaked out if I tell you, like, when I was going through my eye disease that they shot, you know, I had steroids injected in my eye.
Nope, don't want to know.
I know. Some people don't like that, but I
had to share. Why wouldn't you lose your contact behind your eye?
But you know what's funny? Oh, yeah. I've had that before. Oh, my God. That's happened to me when I'm on the air and I got to run out to the, you know, to the restroom and try to get the damn thing from, you know, the recesses of my brain. But, you know, what's funny is like the resources that are available. When I first came to KMOX, and I guess maybe this would be when I was first on Afternoon Drive, which was 2008. I started in 2006. You know who Susie Gorman is?
Yes.
She's like one of the best photographers in St. Louis.
Yep.
So they send me to Susie, a little makeup. She takes great pictures, right? Because that's what she does. She takes great pictures.
She is great.
And then, I don't know, several years or maybe a decade passes, and you kind of say to yourself, that picture, and see, now I'm different. Now my approach is different. I'm like, leave that damn thing up there. But I was at the point, I'm like, maybe we should do some new pictures. We haven't done it in a long time. So we had a guy who worked here, and God bless his wife, was an okay photographer when she did, I hope they're not listening right now, she did a lot of family portraits and kids and stuff like that. But they decided, hey, let's let her take the talent pictures, and we went to Forest Park, and it would seem like the pictures would have turned out okay, but they did not. They were not very good. So then I kind of went and I found a photographer on my own. Fred, do you remember this?
And well, I remember the Forest Park pictures.
Right. Were you there for those?
Oh, yeah.
But then I found
mine was okay.
Oh, they are terrible. So anyway, then I actually go and find a photographer through a friend of mine, like a professional photographer, and I trade them like dog supplies from Pet Supplies Plus in order to get a photo. This is a true story.
Okay.
I'm like, hey, will you do this in trade? And they did
you
it.
You were this desperate for a new photo. Who are you now?
Not paying.
Well, that's, no, well, that, but I mean, the station wasn't coming up with, the station wasn't saying, hey, let's get you some new headshots. We don't do stuff like that anymore. And by
really
the way, in fairness, you can take a damn picture with your iPhone, and if you get a good picture, you know, that's going to be your picture. That's fine. But it's just so funny because we used to have resources that would focus on that. But I noticed this when I was sent the link. I'm like, I kind of like that picture, and it's from 5 or 6 years ago, and I'm just going with that for the rest of my
That's
career.
Fine.
All right, I'm kind of pissed off about something today, but you guys know I'm kind of pissed off about a lot of things. You know where this is from, Sue? Can you identify the movie? This is what got me into listening to classical music when
Amadeus.
I was only about 16 years old.
So
right.
Wonderful.
This is from the soundtrack of Amadeus, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Now, I learned something today, guys, and this sounds like it might be something along the lines of a random fact from Sue's News.
Oh, I like it.
But I'm going to share it with the audience here this afternoon because two things are happening. One, and I hate this because I don't think you remake a classic, and Amadeus is one of the best movies that's been ever made.
Seriously? Because I've never seen it.
Oh, Tom Hulce, F. Murray
Abraham.
Okay. Brilliant, brilliant movie. The soundtrack, unbelievable. It really did start to get me to appreciate Mozart and classical music. And it won a bunch of Oscars. F. Murray Abraham, I think, won for Best Supporting Actor. This is back in 1982. But all these years, 81 or 82, all these years, that's like 45 years ago, I had no idea, and I learned something today I'm going to share with the audience. Mozart was Japanese. Did you know that?
No.
Fred, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, you know why?
Because he's not
is right.
You are fake news.
Exactly. So what's happening here is, and this is ridiculous, they're remaking Amadeus.
No.
And there's an actor by the name of Will Sharp, who's from Japan, and he lived in Japan most of his life. And by the way, he looks Japanese. So allow me to be bigoted and hateful toward this actor because of the way he looks. But are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me that they're doing this? Paul Bettany is also in this... I don't think it's a theatrical, all right? Because they say it premieres in December on Sky. Do you know what Sky is?
I do not.
Okay, I don't want to know. But again, how fascinating is it that we're learning that Mozart is Japanese? And there's some things that you do and there's some things that you don't do. And, you know, when it comes to history and portraying characters of history, I mean, why not do a World War II movie and have Hitler as, you know, I don't know. He's Japanese too. Why not? Why not just make everyone a different race or a different ethnicity so you stick to the reality of the story on which it is based? It's just dumb. So dumb. It's dumb to remake the movie. If you've never seen it, like Sue, go back and watch the original.
I need to watch that. Now, I love Mozart music.
So the downside is it's a three-hour movie, okay?
Ooh.
But I'm telling you, it's such a great movie. I've rewatched it over the years. I wouldn't mind, you know, watching it again with my daughter when she's probably just a little older. And it's not like a true biopic of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. You know, there's theatrical license, dramatic license that's taken, but it's such an exceptionally well-crafted movie. And it's one of those movies that I would say, Fred, I think you would agree, and when I saw it, I had no idea about who Mozart was really or much about him. I had no interest in classical music, and it blew me away when I first saw it when I was 15, 16 years old.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go. 1984 is when it came out.
Oh, was it 84? Yeah. Okay.
Salieri, wasn't that?
Yeah, Salieri.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It's such a brilliant movie, but again, Japanese guy playing him. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At all. Okay, somebody brought up a valid point, and I haven't decided exactly how my brain is going to, you know, explain it and answer it. It's a valid point, though, and what the guy said, and, you know, I was talking about Amadeus and the remake, is Rich said, well, that's exactly why I will never watch the musical Hamilton. But I liked Hamilton, and I, you know, I did throw the red flag on that at first before I saw it. It was very creative. I don't know. So am I being hypocritical because I liked Hamilton, but I don't want the Japanese guy playing Mozart?
I don't know. And then, you know, this happens a lot. Well, if it's a gay character in a movie and it's played by somebody who's straight who's playing a gay character, that's not acceptable.
Everything.
So I don't.
This one, I guess maybe this one struck me a little harder just because I don't think you need to remake a brilliant movie. It's like remaking The Godfather, okay? You don't do that. There's some things that should be just off limits, and that's one of them, unfortunately.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News, presented by U.S. Men's Medical Center.
Hey, good news. It's National Dessert Day.
Oh.
So enjoy whatever it is you like. I tell you what, we were catching up on the Great British Bake Show last night, and it was biscuit week. But which is just a cookie in America.
Oh, that's right.
And so I kept thinking, man, I really want to. Oh, dang, I'm going to try. But they do those cookies where you roll it and there's like you make something inside, like a pattern or a ship or something. And when you slice and bake it, it looks like a bulldog or a cat or a ship. And I thought, maybe I should try that. And I think, what am I? No.
You can't do that.
I'm not.
You got to know your limits, right?
Then I thought, well, Mark should do it.
I
would
try.
Because it's a cookie.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it is National Dessert Day, but also Be Bald and Be Free Day, people. Now, that doesn't apply in this studio.
Did you notice Donald Trump, the president, is upset with Time magazine for the picture on their cover?
Oh, I saw
Because they said
this.
It makes him look bald.
It does,
because they
kind
shot
of.
It up from underneath him,
but I
and
thought
you couldn't see his hair.
I thought it was kind of a cool shot, but you're right about that. I mean, you really can't see his hair.
Yeah.
Of course he'd be mad about that.
So,
I didn't think about it.
I got to tell you something, that there is, I guess they do this more and more often. My daughter loves it. They have at her school, Stanton Elementary in Rockwood, they have Mr. Miller Day today. And I can't remember if Mr. Miller is the PE teacher, but anyway, you're supposed to dress up like Mr. Miller.
Well, that's
and Alexa
a great
got super
idea.
Into it. Well, Mr. Miller doesn't have any hair, which is why I bring it up. So Alexa wore her swim cap and then put like a Mizzou hat over it so she looked like she was bald. I mean, she was super into it.
Well, you got to be into it.
Yeah.
It's be bald and be free day.
That's right.
You go,
that's
Mr.
Right.
Miller.
She'll be very proud of the fact that it's that day that she wore the, you know, the hat there.
It's also National Real Sugar Day and Face Your Fears Day. What is your biggest fear, Fred?
Oh, I have too many for this segment.
Seriously?
I don't know.
What would you not do if they...
Skydive?
Yeah, me neither. And then I think if I'm up there and I'm strapped to a person, will I be able to say, yes, let's go? If they push me out and I was tied, I really don't know that I could do that, Mark.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I've always wanted to, but not sure if I can do it. Like, my fears, I don't know if I could just identify like one fear. I don't have something that just overwhelms me outside of financial disaster, which I usually am on the cusp of anyway. So that's what I'm afraid of, is financial disaster.
That's fine. I got invited one time to jump out of a plane with some official group, and I thought, oh, yeah, I can. And then I thought, I can't do, I don't
See,
think I can.
We've talked about it for years, Fred. We used to have some people that would come on the air. I even had offers, and I'm going to admit, I've chickened out a little bit. I probably could be a little bit more aggressive. But, hell, if George Bush could do it when he was however damn old he was, you know, in his 90s.
You did
ride right?
that really fast plane. What
yeah,
was
you
that?
Did. The
well, the Blue Angel.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
I was inside the plane, Fred. I wasn't free-falling 10,000 feet up there. Well, yeah, we were pulling 6 Gs, but still, that's a little different. I put my trust in the pilot that I would not go splat, if you know
yeah,
what I mean.
I do. I think that says
but
it.
I did this thing one time at the Wisconsin State Fair. It was this crazy ride where you kind of shot up into the air.
Uh-huh.
It was like a rubber. I can't remember what it was called. But that was something where you had the feeling of a free fall.
Oh.
And I kind of liked it. I'm like, if I could do this, maybe I could jump out of a plane. But again, it's people will tell me, and you know, you get mixed reaction. Ah, oh, Mark, you have your daughter and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. But there are not a lot of accidents, right? I mean, it's
no.
pretty... Minimum I mean, chance of going splat.
Even just Mr. Freeze at Six Flags gives you a little bit of that when you come down.
Right.
But I have to close my eyes the entire time and in my head to get it done. Fred, are you going on Mr. Freeze?
I think I have, but I don't like it.
Yeah,
You know, I'd like to skydive with Tom Cruise, though. If Tom Cruise gave me a personal invite to skydive, I'd be in right away.
Well,
and that's likely.
I have
let's
to
face
tell
it.
You, I would do that, too.
I mean, we know that he's doing it, right? I mean, he's doing his
right.
own damn
I
stunts out there.
He didn't want to kill you. That's a big old lawsuit. And on this day in history, 113 years ago, it was in 1912 when Theodore Roosevelt was shot in the chest in Milwaukee while he was campaigning for the presidency, but he had his speech in his man breast pocket and it absorbed most of the bullet's impact, so he was able to go ahead and just make his scheduled appearance. I mean, we are not...
Whoa.
When you think back to some of the stuff that happened and then you think about today, I mean, Trump was great, but wow, how about that?
I don't know that I've ever heard that story.
I hadn't either. And then, all right, let's just hit the Taylor Swift music because it's all about her. Here we go. Taylor Swift's The Life of a Showgirl sold a massive 4 million copies in its first week. Now, that 4 million... is what they call equivalent album units, which are both pure album sales and streaming. But most of that was pure album sales, 3.4 million copies.
Wait, who buys? I'm so
albums.
Confused by this. Who buys
yes.
an album in what form? Now, Taylor puts vinyl out, right? But
right.
there's not 3.4 million people that bought the record.
That's what they're saying. And they say this is Taylor's 15th number one album. Now, the last one to hold any kind of record was Adele's 25 when it came out. But listen to this. Even within this building, JR, who's the program director for KZK, sent this out to us because, you know, I do some traffic on KZK. Here's what he said. Taylor released her album, and now we have a full week of streaming. This is streaming only to look at. Now, he says, in general, if something comes out, it'll get 10 to 20 million streams a week, and that is huge. Like Morgan Wallen,
right,
that big
right.
hit he had, that was 25 million in a week. Taylor Swift, The Fate of Ophelia, 90,815,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, that's just for that one song. The rest of them are all beating anything that Morgan Wallen did. I mean, the least streamed of her new album is Honey at 41 million streams.
So, Fred, this would be a good question for Tim Sommer, I think, when we have him back, because I don't understand how they do those computations, and I bet that he would be able to explain it.
I bet you're right.
I do like this song, though. It's one that Alexa's been singing a lot, so.
Well, that's the most streamed. Yep. So
I like Elizabeth Taylor, too. That's my second favorite.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's on here at number 3 in streaming.
What's number 2?
Opalite.
Opalite's good, too. Mm-hmm. Opalite. That's Alexa likes Fade of Ophelia and Opalite the best. I like Fade of Ophelia and Elizabeth Taylor the best, but I like Opalite. It's good.
Okay. Well, that's fair. But so it's mind-boggling. That's my point. Okay. Apple TV Plus is now going to be called Apple TV without the plus. And Apple is announcing that it's, quote, are you ready? A vibrant new identity.
That means prices are going to go up.
Of course they will. Right. For the second time
all
this year.
All you did was get rid of the word plus or the symbol.
Why did they do this? Because, see, this is where it confuses me. And I have what's referred to as an Apple TV. You know what that is? It's a little box that you put all your apps on, right? So I use Apple TVs on all of my TVs. So does that even make sense to you, Fred? Do you know what that is? It's kind of like...
Is it like a Roku?
Yes. It's literally a little box that I plug into and all the apps come up and I do all my streaming. So when I go to Apple TV Plus, then it shows me the shows that are on Apple TV Plus. Yeah, you can have your Roku or whatever other smart TV. Some people just go right through their TVs. I don't. I use the Apple TV unit.
Box.
Right. But that's separate from what the... Apple TV Plus is. That's why it's confusing. Now they're both called the same thing.
Okay, well, no kidding. Well, that's a mess. And finally, in Sue's news, I didn't understand any of that.
Okay,
do we have today's random
fact? Go. There
When Ian Fleming finished his first James Bond novel, he celebrated by buying himself a gold-plated typewriter. I kind of love that. And that's it for Sue's news.
Who can blame him, right?
Right.
Jamie Reed on the other side of Ophelia and a Fox Business report.
Ophelia is locked inside my memory and only you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, well, I got into some of this yesterday. I played the John Oliver audio. He goes after Barry Weiss, and he goes after Jamie Reed, the whistleblower from here in St. Louis, where her piece originally was in the FP, the Free Press. But here's what he said about the entire situation at WashU with Jamie.
They soon announced an investigation into the center, and it ultimately stopped treating minors, with Reed's claims even being used to help justify a statewide ban on gender-affirming care for them. So it did have real impact, which is what makes it so awkward. When Washington University conducted its own investigation, they found that allegations of substandard care causing adverse outcomes for patients at the center were unsubstantiated. And when other outlets reported the story out again and again, their findings did not match what the Free Press published. For instance, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch found dozens of former patients and parents at the clinic who told them their experiences sharply contradicted the examples supplied by Reed. NBC spent 2 months reaching out to nearly 40 people associated with the center and got the same result, with patients and parents saying the care they received was thorough and slow.
All right, so I'm not going to let him go on because we have Jamie on the line, and she's going to be much better at answering these questions. But those are the pot shots that, you know, John Oliver, who I've never thought is funny, was taking. Jamie Reed, who is the whistleblower from WashU, and she's now the executive director of LGB Courage Coalition, is with us. Hello, Jamie. I knew you had something to say about all this because you're back in the tweets and in the headlines a little bit. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Mark. So thank you so much for having me. That was actually the first time I heard the clip.
Oh, really?
I have intentionally not I haven't watched it.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Well, so he's making several cases. Now, he's trying to go after Barry here, you know, in a backhanded way. But he basically makes the case that everything that you said, by the way, was also said in the study of the Tavistock Clinic when it was shut down. And we have ample evidence from around not only the country but the world that what you said has been vindicated. He tried to say that you're making it all up and that all these investigations essentially cleared the clinic, Jamie.
So I still have not seen an actual investigation occur. Washington University never reached out to me. They never spoke to me once. They never
serious?
Asked me for any. They've never spoken to me.
Oh,
since.
My goodness.
They
I
never
did not
asked
know that.
Me for evidence. Their, quote, investigation was done solely internally without even looking at or wanting any of the evidence that I had.
That's mind-boggling. I had no idea that that was the case. And then, you know, when he mentions the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, here's what I remember about the local coverage, and this happened at KMOV, too. They didn't go to, you know, like regular parents who may have a child that might be struggling with this. They went to the trans activists in the community, and those are the ones that they quoted in the pieces.
Absolutely. I counted up to 1,500 unique patients that came through the center when I worked there, and there have been roughly 30 cops that have spoken to primarily liberal journalists, and almost all of them were directly associated with the local activist group.
So let's go back a little bit to when you wrote the piece. And this was in 2023 at the end of the year. I think I started talking about it right when I got back from the holidays in January. And, you know, you kind of lay out some of your concerns about what was happening at the clinic. And one thing that always stood out to me, and I think that this is something else that's been discussed, is the mental health aspect of this. John Oliver seems to, like, put that aside. But you were very specific in describing some of the situations that you yourself encountered at this clinic with these young people that were looking for help, but in many cases were just very, very, you know, perhaps they were gay, or maybe they were mentally ill, maybe a combination of that. And that's what alerted you to some of the problems that were going on at the clinic.
Yeah. I mean, simply put, we were irreversibly changing children's bodies on the premise that it would make their mental health better, and it simply did not. Patient after patient, mental health was getting worse. These were very disturbed kids who really, truly did need care, and instead they were given puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. And John Oliver, you know, I don't think it was funny. I don't think the piece, I don't think the way he's treating this issue is funny at all. I don't think this is a comedy skit. But even if he wanted to talk about maybe there were some families that said this was the right thing for them, that does not discount the huge number of patients who are now detransitioning, who do know that they have been harmed, and their parents who have come to me and said the exact same thing.
So, you know, one of the things that I kind of have the piece pulled up right now, there was a variety of issues when it came to, you know, the comorbidities of mental health, depression, anxiety, ADHD, eating disorders, obesity. You had people that were diagnosed with autism or autism-like symptoms, things along those lines that really were not, you know, the gut check wasn't, okay, well, let's look at these aspects of the entire mental health and physical health, but instead the default was hop them up on puberty blockers.
Absolutely. And oftentimes hop them up on these quick interventions after a single visit with an endocrinologist. And that simply was not the way evidence-based medicine, even if you thought that there is something called a trans kid, we weren't even following what protocol was currently laid out in the right way. Now we know from the international evidence that's poured out is that the concept itself is also not evidence-based. But even if you still believed that, we were not even following those protocols.
Some of this gets, you know, I remember this from the original piece. You were talking about, is the medicine called
bicalutamide?
Yeah. Explain what that did. And some of the, because I remember you shared some emails where people were concerned about that particular treatment in you know, specifically.
Yes, I would have loved if John Oliver would have demonstrated to the public the single protocol that advises the use of bicalutamide in anyone, because it doesn't exist. Because this is a drug that was created and used to treat prostate cancers, and it is used to treat cancers where testosterone, in particular, is essentially feeding the cancer. Never been tested in kids for use in what we were doing, known liver toxicity, and the adult center at Washington University through BJC was not willing to use this drug in adults, yet we were using it in kids.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, that in and of itself should be a red flag. The one that I've always used as an example, and I've always paraphrased it, but I have the piece that, you know, is pulled up in front of you right now. You talked about one kid that comes in the summer of 2022. He's 17 years old, and he was in a lockdown facility. He was sexually abusing dogs. He had a terrible childhood. His mother's a drug addict. His father's in prison. You know, really, really rough things. But he's sexually abusing dogs and indicates that when he gets out, he wants to do that again. Now, it's determined that he's got sexual gender identity issues because he's having sex with dogs.
He declared that he was a transgender woman and wanted to be treated as a woman. And those were the cases where I could not believe we were even contemplating this in children. These were children who were needing much higher level of care than a visit with an endocrinologist that ended up with cross-sex hormones. And frankly, there was no protocol designed to treat kids like that, even within what the standards of care were at that time. So it's just so outside of practice. These are ethically, like, so outside of practice. And yet we were just doing whatever we wanted.
You started that piece by saying, by the way, I think I misidentified. The original piece was in February of 2023, and I think there was a follow-up that was at the end of that year. But that's when I started talking about it, in, you know, the winter, spring of 2023. But you said, I'm a 42-year-old St. Louis native, a queer woman, and politically to the left of Bernie Sanders. You said, I think, in one of the X tweets, you no longer identify as a queer woman, correct? Explain that.
Correct. So that word has basically been completely, well, originally it was a slur. People claim that we had reclaimed it. It doesn't describe gay people anymore. We've basically seen a complete divorce from gays and lesbians, from trans queer identities, because we know that this is an ideology that really is about destroying things. And for most just normal gays and lesbians, we would just like to go to work, take care of our kids, go to church, have our family, have a barbecue, you know, live our lives. And the trans queer kind of identity movement is demanding so many other things. It's demanding access to girls' sports and putting men in women's prisons and just really eroding all of the other things about our society. And most normal gays and lesbians are not going along with that.
I've made that case. The older gays and lesbians in particular, my best friend on the planet is gay. He's got a partner who's younger. They both feel the same way. And, you know, they you have to kind of maybe stay quiet a little bit. But I've made the case, and this was explained to me from my friend. So if it's a gay man and you have a woman who decides to be a man, if as a gay man you're not attracted to that trans person, well, then you're transphobic.
You cannot have same-sex attraction if you don't acknowledge the biological reality of sex. It's destroying the gay and lesbian community.
That kind of sums it up right there. And then how is your part? One of the other aspects of this story in the last couple of years, your partner is detransitioning, right, still?
Yep.
And how is that going, that process? Because I can't imagine that's easy.
She's doing really well because she is being intentional. She's getting great mental health care, and she's come to, you know, reality and recognizing the reality of her sex. And so she's doing, I'm really proud of her. She's doing a great job.
That is great to hear. Yeah. What would you say about Barry? And, you know, I don't know how this landed in the Free Press. I'm glad that it did, because certainly the New York Times and some of these other publications, even the Post, probably would have printed that. But how did that come about?
My attorneys and Barry Weiss has always been willing to take a risk and discuss the issues that the American public really needs to be talking about. And in addition, Barry's a lesbian.
Right.
And it's not something that she pushes out there, you know, every day of her working life, but she does have her ear to the ground and she's willing to look at issues and dig for some of the hard truth, even if it goes against, you know, what the cultural cool thing to do is at the time. So I really applaud her willingness to take a risk on running that piece. And I hope that she knows 2.5 years later, I've stood by everything in that piece, and that she took a risk and it was really worth it, because and in the end, I think
you
we've
made a
done
difference.
Really great work.
You made a difference.
Absolutely.
That piece made a difference, and being in the Free Press made a difference. Absolutely. Jamie, I'm so glad you jumped on here with me. Good luck. I didn't know you had not heard the audio, but John just made a fool out of himself. There's no need for you to go back and listen to the rest of it, but thank you for standing up for all this.
All right. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. And we aired a little of this live earlier this afternoon. President Trump at the Rose Garden ceremony. What is that noise that I'm hearing right now? Hello? Hello?
Oh,
that's the TV. Sorry, I think I potted up the TV. That was Gutfeld or something like that. I apologize. That was operator error. What the hell was I saying? Oh, President Trump was doing the Rose Garden ceremony, posthumously awarding Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We aired some of that live, but you didn't hear all of it. So we have some additional audio that has come in. One of them is 27 minutes and 53 seconds. If I click on that, we can all kind of take a break, but that's not the one I'm going to click on here.
That's good.
Here's the president addressing his wife.
As for, do we have
That's still Gutfeld. What the hell am I doing, Sue? Oh, I know what's happening. One of these.
You got it?
Nah, it's one of these things where the audio comes up and Ethan has to fix it. Let's see if this one works.
Oh.
This one will work. The issue of J.D. Vance, remember I played that ABC audio from earlier?
Yes.
I'm not sure why that came up here, but it did. And it's still not playing. What am I doing here?
Thanks as well to Vice President J.D. Vance, who's been fantastic. J.D., thank you very much. Great. Doing a great job. Did a great job on Sunday with George Slapidopoulos. He did it. Put him away pretty good.
Slapidopoulos. It's not Snuffleupagus like Rush Limbaugh used to say. Okay, Ethan's going to try to fix the audio. You want to hit that one and see if it works? Let's see.
I was there with him before I met Erica, and he told me he was going to get married. He said, "You won't believe how beautiful she is." I said, "Well, then now that I meet her, he's right." But then he also said, "And you know what? She's like the smartest person I know." See, they do go together on occasion. Not often. Not often.
Sue had to explain that one to me because I wasn't sure what he was saying. But what he was saying is like, if the hot blonde's not always smart, right? That's
yes.
Yeah, that's essentially his point. And here is Erica from a short time ago.
Charlie, baby, I know that you're celebrating in heaven today, but gosh, I miss you. We miss you. And we love you, and we promise we'll make you proud. And Charlie's life was proof that freedom is not a theory, it's a testimony. He showed us that liberty begins not in the halls of power, but in the man of a heart surrendered to God. And so today, as we honor Charlie with this incredible Presidential Medal of Freedom on his birthday, I stand here with tears and just a humbled heart and spirit, because his story reminds us all that to live free is the greatest gift, but to die free is the greatest victory. Happy birthday, my Charlie. Happy Freedom Day. God bless you.
I don't know how you do that as a grieving widow. How does she do that with such strength? I mean, obviously her faith plays
a huge role,
but I just cannot, I can't believe that. By the way, on the, you know, I wanted to talk about Turning Points. I'm still unclear about what they're doing here. You know, when Bad Bunny was announced as the halftime performer, a lot of us, now I try to always, and I said this last week, I always look at it from whatever perspective I might not be seeing through, you know, a proper lens. So in fairness, the dude is immensely popular globally and even here in this country. I think it's a weird choice just because he doesn't sing his songs in English, and this is the Super Bowl and we're not allowed any American culture. But what happened in the immediate aftermath of that, and the left-wing media loves this, is you had people like Benny Johnson and others saying, hey, we need to have our own, you know, Super Bowl halftime show. So they tried to involve you know, I guess Turning Points USA, and there were some rumors that had come out about performers that might take place. I think some of that is still, some of it's rumors and some of it's not coming together, but it would kind of be interesting. And I don't know, there was someone out there that said that they had a halftime show that sold out Atlanta Braves Stadium in 3 hours after announcing it's Kid Rock. Well, that's satire. It's not true. So there's a lot of stuff out there that people claim that is not true. I don't know if they're going to put something together or not, and I don't know if it would draw a significant audience, because I think for the most part, people are going to want to see, okay, we don't know who this Bad Bunny guy is, but what is he going to do? My prediction, and I'll stick with it, I bet it's a pretty good entertaining show. Huh. I just still throw the red flag. I mean, the guy's got, you know, entertainment chops. There's no doubt about it. And some people took umbrage. He was on Saturday Night Live, and he said, if you don't like, you know, the fact that it's not in English, you have 4 months to learn Spanish. I kind of thought that was a funny line, honestly. Yeah. I'm not going to get all worked up about that. I'm just a little bit more worked up about the fact that you can no longer have white people involved in the Super Bowl halftime show. Ever since George Floyd, it will never...
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.